Ready to go on a Tuesday night in Nashville. Welcome into the Nashville Soccer Show on 104.5 The Zone. Do not let the Titans comeback win distract you from Nashville's abysmal loss on the pitch. Saturday night in Toronto was one to forget for the boys in gold. And we've got an hour to talk about that and much more. Alongside Lucas Panzeca behind the glass, Davey Shepherd to my left. I'm your host, Will Bowling. Glad to be back with you. Gentlemen, it's not as positive of a show tonight based on the product that was on the field Saturday night, but it will always be a positive time. How are we?
Man, I'm doing good. I sure do wish we were talking Titans tonight instead of Nashville Soccer Club. It'd be a little bit more fun. Still plenty of bad to talk about there as well, I guess. But no, hey, really tough loss for Nashville Soccer Club this week. And man, it can't be fun to be in the locker room this week.
Also, it is pouring outside.
It is raining so hard.
It's death, taxes, and me having a rain jacket in my car. That is not like where I need it.
It is raining so hard. What's the last thing we said on Tuesday? I mean, I literally was on the way out. Guys,
we said
to get 3 points.
They were going to lose one of these.
But we said they had to get 3 points in Toronto. It's the last place team in the conference. They hadn't won a game in what, seven match days. Yeah, it's an inexcusable loss, and that's going to happen. Those are going to happen. They've happened a couple times. That's the good news. This team's only lost three of those this year.
Right.
But the bad news is it was an inexcusable loss, and it was acknowledged by Gary Smith and everybody afterwards, but just a lot of concerning variables through 90 minutes of that game.
This team better be thankful there was good college football happening while they were playing. I'm serious. I think the reaction's so much worse to this game and the way that it happened if all eyeballs are on Nashville SC losing to the worst team in MLS. Right? I mean, like, they're like Auburn Penn State was going on. I had that on one TV. I had Nashville on another TV. If this is like a Wednesday night in June and Nashville loses this game, I think people are freaking out. People are going to call the Miami loss worse than this. This is the worst loss this team has had this season to me.
Yeah, Miami's a fringe playoff team at this point.
Miami's okay, partly because of that game against Nashville. When Nashville kind of helped Miami get on the right track, they've been good after that. And, of course, we're going to preview that matchup tomorrow. But, guys, this was really bad. And just the way that it happened, I mean, this is a Toronto team that has now gone 21 straight games without a clean sheet. And your one goal against them, to be fair, guys, is probably offsides. Can we start there?
Yeah, I thought it was on. I mean, it was close.
I think it might get called back in England. Which is, you know, maybe, not saying England has the right system.
Okay, I'll put it like this. If it would have been called off, I think it would have stayed off.
No, hang on. Are we talking about Nashville's goal to
Nashville's
equalize?
Nashville's goal, okay. Yeah. Nashville's goal to equalize.
Not Toronto's opener.
No. Toronto's opener was, I mean, both of those were fine. For me, actually, that was really well taken. What was the guy? I don't even know his name.
I've got it right here.
Rusty Shackleford, something like that. Shacklebaum, I have no idea. Sorry here, man.
Schaffelberg,
there we go.
It was 21-year-old.
A sublime touch, move, and finish for sure. Alistair Johnson just kind of stepping up where he needed to track Schaffelberg and had a free path on goal. But, yeah, he did the rest pretty well.
That I think, you chalk up as well to Alistair Johnson kind of playing in a new position a little bit. Right center back, Alistair Johnston plays him on side. It's a really good finish and a good touch, but that's the lack of reps that you have with Romney, Zimmerman, Johnston as your back three.
I guess. I feel like they've gotten to a point where they really trust Johnston in that spot. He's been playing that all year. Yes, he is relatively new to that role. You're right. And it started with the Canadian national team, and it was only months ago, but it feels like he's been in that role enough to where he can be held accountable for mistakes like that.
Right. 74th minute. Randall Ayall finding C.J. Sapong, 10th goal of the season in 300 MLS appearances. So congrats to C.J. Sapong on 300 games in Major League Soccer. But guys, I mean, Toronto was winless in their last nine, and they had conceded first in each of their last eight games. And you let that Toronto team be better than you in the first half. Gary Smith said it in this game, saying that he actually felt fortunate to only be down one at halftime in this game. That is inexcusable against this Toronto team. It's excusable against any Toronto team this year. It's the worst team in Major League Soccer.
Like, by a lot.
It's not really close. We joke a lot about FC Cincinnati and Nashville. Nashville SC fans love to make fun of Cincinnati. This team is worse than Cincinnati, and it's not close at all.
With that said, it shouldn't be with some of the talent they have.
No, you're right. Which that was the same, and I'm not saying you're making an excuse here, but that was the excuse for many after the Miami loss. Like, oh, this team actually really is talented when you look at it. Well, okay, well, they're not good at winning soccer games, so I don't know how much that talent really translates to MLS.
Yeah, and let's go there. Your brother tweets out today, hey, what's the worst loss of the season?
It's Toronto.
It's Toronto, Wes. You know I love you, man. This team is so bad. Like,
there's no excuse to losing to that Toronto team.
Yeah.
None. There's none. They had conceded first each of the last eight. They lost six games in a row to New England, Atlanta, Miami, Montreal, Cincinnati, and Miami again. Maybe that's why Miami's playing better. They've gotten to play Toronto twice. There's some truth to that.
And look, let's go back. I mean, it's been months now, right, where I originally brought up the idea. I think originally you two both pushed back a bit, but have come to agree with me. It's just so clear. The team plays down to the level of its competition. Fortunately, I think they play up to the level of their competition as well. Now, that being said, hey, this team is still on track for a second or a third seed. They're going to be playing a Miami in round one or something like that.
And we're going to get to later in the show the nightmare matchup that's awaiting for Nashville SC in the first round of the playoffs, possibly, that I am horrified of. But that's going to be a longer segment. I'm not going to waste that here in about 4 or 5 minutes. Another thing I want to get to today, and we'll spend some time on this later in the show, when do we really actually get worried about Ake Loba? Because we've had this conversation a couple times. I feel like we've had a lot of the same discussions because the same things keep popping up for Nashville SC. It's, oh, are they getting enough out of their DPs? They're giving up too many set-piece goals. But I want to take this conversation, make it a little more specific. Is Ake Loba closer to Hany Mukhtar or Yonder Cadiz in year one?
Well, the thing is, we haven't had to be worried about Ake Loba right in the last run of games, 2-3 weeks.
This is a situation similar to what we were saying about Yonder Cadiz in Miami. If that guy is getting on after Alex Mouil, when you're chasing a goal, there's something wrong at this point. There's something wrong. So we're going to get into that part of the discussion as well. There's also lots of European football to discuss. We are in the swing. We're in the thick of a European season now. The first international break's out of the way. We've got Martin Odegaard just scoring bangers. We've got Cristiano Ronaldo just scoring goals for fun. We've got the three of us scoring as many goals as Lionel Messi so far in a PSG shirt, which is something I did not expect to say.
He has hit the bar more times than I have.
That's fair. And we've also got an American beating him. This is crazy. This is worthy of our first segment right here. Jordan Pefok, man, scoring a goal for Young Boys to beat PSG. United. Bruges, Ethan Horvath's former team, almost beating did beat PSG. Yes, no.
Drew, 1-1.
God, it's been a long day.
Yeah, long one. No, the PFOC goal was great.
That's where I wanted to go. Thank
horrible
you.
From Jesse Lingard there. Yeah. Just astoundingly bad. Now, he scores a great goal this weekend. Made up for it Sunday. Gets all 3 points in a game that it looked surely like West Ham was going to grab a result. Okay, let's go there. David Moyes, did you not watch the Europa final?
Yeah, I was about to say, I saw a picture earlier, and it said, and now Mark Noble will be coming on. It's just a picture of Sancho and Rashford on the sideline.
It's just like, I just, can every manager ever just stop doing that? Like, let the guy kick a few balls for the love of God.
To be fair, it wasn't a terrible penalty.
He took it pretty well. You're right.
Save,
yeah, you know? Good
if,
save
if
from De Gea.
If dives the other way, yeah. we're not talking about any of this.
Good save from De Gea, for sure. But, no,
but yeah, I agree.
That was a wild game. That was some great soccer on Saturday.
Yeah, it was.
That was a really good game.
It really was. 104.5 The Zone TV is where you can interact with the show tonight as well. Twitch, YouTube, Facebook Live, and Twitter. Jump in the comment section. Let us know what Premier League game, what European game you're watching over the weekend. Or this week. I say that, guys, because I watched a Barcelona game for the first time, like the entire second half. How on earth is Ronald Koeman still the manager of Barcelona?
Money.
How on earth?
Or lack thereof.
I truthfully don't think they have the money to fire him and pay him. And
they don't
hire
have the money
else
to do anything.
Yeah.
They put on Gerard Pique with 40 minutes left to play striker.
Gerard Pique, who took a 50% pay cut this offseason.
40 minutes left. Oh, And we will have much more Nashville SC discussion today. We're not just going to spend the whole show on Europe.
God, that would be nice, though.
But still, yeah. I think, are we fatigued at this point? Like, I know we're not ever tired of doing this show. We're always going to come and bring it. I do feel like it's just the same conversations about this Nashville SC team.
Until it's not. Come on. I mean, the conversations for the last 3 weeks have been nothing but positive. This team was on one of the best run of forms we've ever seen.
And I get that. But when it's positive, it's, wow, CJ Sapong is so good. The defensive shape is awesome.
Hani Mukhtar, MVP candidate.
Hani Mukhtar, MVP candidate. And then when they're bad, it's, wow, they gave up another set piece goal. Wow, where's your big money strikers? Why are they not playing?
No,
Why is Alex Mwiel an offensive sub in the second half? Like, yeah. Are we just going to keep going back and forth in this? Because
we have done this episode
guys,
before.
The way this ends is Nashville SC losing to Atlanta in Nissan Stadium off of a set piece in the second half. That is how all of this ends.
No.
Yes.
Atlanta's going to finish like fourth, bro.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
Yeah, they're not going to play Atlanta in the first round. If they play Atlanta in the first round, they're traveling to Atlanta.
Which they might. If it ended right now, that's what it would be, but that's not how it's going to end.
Atlanta is on the ascendancy here, bro.
But the point is, the way this team finishes this cycle of this show going back and forth between a couple different topics, this is where we take this to a new place tonight, gentlemen. The way the season's going to end is on the disappointing side of this. To me, because the mistakes you're making are not indicative of a team that's going to win in the playoffs. Right? One set piece and this team might be buried. I feel like teams are going to be more apt to park the bus, settle in, if you get a set piece goal against Nashville. If you get a set piece goal against Nashville in the first or second half, at home or on the road, the way Nashville plays, Nashville has asserted itself as one of the best teams in MLS. So where do we take that on the next step? The next step of that is you start to get treated like a good team in MLS when a team gets a goal against you against the run of play. What that means is it gets even harder to break down a team like a Miami in the first round this time.
Miami's not going to do that.
Well, that's
Miami is a different story. Montreal will do that.
Montreal would do that. Columbus.
Red Bulls, if they made it. DC United would do that.
NYC.
Exactly. Some of the NYC wouldn't do it. NYC would play open soccer. NYC thinks they're a lot better than they are, just like Miami does.
After what happened last time, though?
On the road with all kinds of guys. They played two center backs who had collectively 45 minutes between them that night.
That's fair.
It's different. But
it's twofold.
Montreal is a nightmare matchup in round one for Nashville.
But it's twofold, right? Because, yes, there's the one weakness that continues to rear its head. It feels like, you're right, every single disappointing loss, we're having this exact conversation over and over. But theoretically, it's also a very pointed weakness that, again, theoretically, can be worked on, can be fixed before the postseason. And I've said it before, not that many teams have that luxury, that it's that pointed of a weakness. It's just stupefying that it continues to happen.
And that being said, here's the thing and why I'm not ready to go there yet. Every time their back is actually against the wall, and it's like it actually matters and they've actually got to get the three or a draw or whatever it is, Gary Smith shows up. So where they've had the disappointment thus far, to me, hasn't been in those circumstances. Now, look, everyone out there saying, oh, Davey, you know, you're lowering the bar, blah, blah, blah. Just chill out for 1 second. Because that's how you go from good to great, to use an old Mike Vrabel term.
Not Tennessee Titans.
Which I'm not sure that they've ever gone from good to great either, the Titans. But that's how you make that next step
one
is you go out there and grab bad games, you know, bad teams by the throat and say, hey, I'm going to win three on the trot on the road against teams that are all worse than us. That's how you make the next step to a great soccer team from a good soccer team.
Yeah, and I don't think it's fair to zoom into Saturday and say this is how they're going to lose in the playoffs. You know, the result on Saturday can't let us forget that this team was unbeaten since August 8th and hadn't allowed a set piece goal in over a month until Saturday.
And talking postgame with Ben Wright, I think he said it really, really well. He said, at the end of the day, like, this game doesn't change my opinion of the team at all. They're really good team who's played bad on the road and has played bad against bad teams. That being said, come playoff time, they're probably going to get the bad team at home where they've been playing better anyways. And in the games where it matters, they show up.
Yeah,
so,
they've beaten some really good teams.
Yes, exactly. So I don't have some huge concern with this team other than Lopa, which we'll get to in a bit. But that being said, it's totally unacceptable, that result. I said it before the game. The idea of a trap game to me is nonsense. I think that's stuff fans like to talk about to make themselves feel better when a result doesn't go their way.
Right.
Like the universe is conspiring against them or something. At the end of the day, it's just the team plays down to its competition. It has all year. It is who they are.
Yeah, it's their identity at this point. A couple comments on 104.5 The Zone TV. Casey says, you boys going strong. Thank you, Casey. Appreciate you.
We're going, Casey. I don't know if it's strong or not.
That's right. Baxter, my good buddy. Baxter on Periscope saying about Ronald Koeman, he is out in like 6 days. Baxter is my optimist slash the world is ending Barcelona fan. Who's also an Atlanta United fan.
Well, he's right about that.
Yes, he is.
Lebowski in the house.
Love that. Michael on YouTube says, my God, when does Lucas sleep? Lucas, your thoughts.
Do not, Michael.
And Ben Wright here to tell us when we're being idiots, as always, saying they've still conceded just 23 goals in 24 games, even with the set piece issues. Here's the thing to me, though, guys. When you look at the anatomy of an upset in a knockout tournament, what is the number one thing in the anatomy of an upset in a knockout tournament? Conceding on a set piece.
Yeah, no question. It's a huge
Absolutely.
Vulnerability.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that.
Because whether penalty is probably 1A, set piece is 1B, but I'm still lumping in penalties, conceding a penalty against the run of play with everything else. That's one thing this team hasn't done. Knock on wood, because now that will 100% happen. And I'm going to save this clip. I'm going to save this clip. Jinxes don't exist, but I'm going to save this clip for when that happens.
Yeah, has this team faced any penalties?
Game one.
Yes, Brenner.
FC Cincinnati
at
home.
They did convert. They did convert one.
Brenner, I hardly know her. When we come back, we will get into the Ake Loba discussion, gentlemen, because I think it is now time. We've had the discussion a lot. When are we allowed to be worried about Ake Loba? I think we're getting to the beginning of that time. We'll debate next on 104.5. It's the Nashville Soccer Show on 104.5 The Zone. You can join us on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook Live, or the artist formerly known as Periscope in the comments section. Will Bowling, Davey Shepherd, and Lucas Panzeca with you. Ake Loba, gentlemen, gets into the game in the 83rd minute against Toronto. As far as this season goes, I think he's closer to Yonder Cadiz coming in late to this team last year than he is to a Hani Mukhtar that's just getting minutes, getting starts, and slowly adjusting to the league. Somewhere in between.
Or like a Leal.
He's not, Leal, but even Leal, he hit the post against Atlanta in that first game. He was great at times and then was bad at times. I think this is a guy... I just don't want to get in the excuse-making business for a guy that we've been told and we've seen has the quality to step into this team day one and contribute. His last game before he was playing for Nashville SC was in the CONCACAF Champions League. Two of them. Two CONCACAF Champions League appearances before
he scored against
Nashville
Columbus, right?
Yes.
Somebody. Scored against somebody.
Correct. Yes. Let's look last year. Hani Mukhtar. His first goal last season. Do you remember what his first goal was?
Oof. Hani Mukhtar's first goal as a Nashville SC player.
Yes.
Was it a penalty?
Actually, no, I don't
no
think
idea.
It was.
Was it during
I know when
it
was.
Atlanta when they scored four.
It was against Atlanta.
Did he score two in that game?
No, I think it was just one.
Okay.
See, I teed you up. And
it was
4-1,
4-2, something along those lines.
His 10th game in a Nashville shirt was Hani Mukhtar's first goal.
Yeah.
10th game. So, I think that if Hani Mukhtar is having the same performances in year two at this point, and Nashville SC is in a different existence, it's not just this new thing, we don't know their identity, we're probably having the same discussion about Hani Mukhtar. If he is, you know, not the guy that's built around and, you know, oh, hey, we got this new central attacking midfield player that hasn't scored in his first 10 games. So I don't want to have revisionist history and think that Hani Mukhtar stepped in day one and was just lighting it up. So when I say that it's time to start being concerned about Ake Loba, yes, Hani Mukhtar got off to a slow start as well. Just the fact now that Hani Mukhtar is an MVP candidate does not mean that it didn't take him 10 games to finally score his first goal. So when I say, you know, we're concerned, I'm not saying that he can't become a Hani Mukhtar level talent, because he can. But at this point, Nashville SC needs more out of Ake Loba. Fair?
Well, yes, but here's the thing. Ake Loba can go out there and look dynamic and, you know, track back well and just look lively. But at the end of the day, it's like the Rodrigo Pinheiro thing. The limited action we saw from Rodrigo Pinheiro was in a really pivotal moment in a game against Toronto where he helped initiate the game-winning goal right at the end by Luke Hawkinson, Rodrigo Pinheiro in that game.
Yeah, it was the tying goal.
So I'll kind of lump both of those in, although I know it's completely different. Pinheiro, nowhere close to a record-type signing. But we thought this guy was coming in as like a young DP type, right, from Uruguay. Rodrigo Pinheiro was supposed to be a major addition to this team.
I mean, technically speaking, he is a young DP. Like,
right. Well,
roster mechanism-wise.
Right. He is a young DP, and we thought Ake Loba was supposed to come in and have a DP impact on this team. So it's a similar conversation, and we're seeing none of those guys. So they can come on, they can look dynamic, they can look lively, but if they, in the limited moments they do get on the field, but if they're not seeing the field consistently, then they're obviously not doing a job that Gary needs them to do on the field, right? I can't think of any other reason. It is obvious that Gary does not think there is something that they can do, a specific job that we don't know. All we can do is throw out our best guess.
I think I'm just totally in a different boat than you guys. Like, when I hear you say, are you going to compare him with Cadiz, and you think he's close, like, I think that's pretty unfair on the guy. Like, I just don't think I've seen anything from him to be able to compare him to anything. And if we're sitting here questioning who Ake Loba is, me personally, I think it's just got to go to Gary. Because to Lucas's point, I just don't understand why he isn't on the field. I've heard fitness. I've heard sharpness. I've heard learning his role. I've heard all of these things. At the end of the day, you're chasing a goal for like 40 minutes the other day.
Right.
And if there's one thing we know the guy knows what to do, it's score goals.
Right.
And so I don't really get it at all. Am I willing to say, and that's where I can get people being really upset about this and really annoyed at it. Record signing by more than double. All of that stuff. I get it. I if you just want to be pissed, I don't even really beef with you on that, right? Like, just go be pissed about it. I got no issue with that. That's fine, man. But that being said, I think on the flip side of that, you have to say, like, okay, well, what are the results? What are the results since Ake Loba came into this side?
Right.
Overall, pretty good.
Overall, pretty good. Lost two games, drawn another two, won a bunch. You've gone a second in the table by yourselves.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So it's one thing if the team's not scoring goals.
And that's why we haven't talked about it over the last couple. We haven't even brought it up.
It's really easy to talk about it on days like today where they just lost to Toronto. I get that. And I was saying it on Twitter that night. I said, listen, you're chasing a goal away from home. You got a $7 million striker or dollar striker sitting on the bench.
Because I don't think we're talking about it if they lose any plays. Like, the reason I'm talking about it is because he doesn't even get a chance to affect
him. Yeah, it's a matter of what do they have to lose by throwing him out there earlier than the 83rd minute when they need a goal.
Right.
Look, I'm with you there. I'm not. I feel like I'm like kind of painting myself as a Gary truther on this. That's not what I'm trying to do. I got issues with it. But that being said, at the end of the day, what's the counter? Like I don't know what there is to gain necessarily. What is there to lose? I'm with you. But at the end of the day, there hasn't been that many more points to gain without him on the field.
And that's true. I just think that when you continue to give up the kinds of goals this team is giving up, having that kind of guy up to speed by the playoffs, which could still happen, but up to speed by the time you're playing important games at the end of the season is important. That's what I want to see, is I want to see the guys that are getting paid a lot of money getting a chance to do what they're getting paid a lot of money to do. And the fact that we're not even getting that opportunity worries me about the way Ake Loba fits into this system. To be fair, Gary Smith has played a lot of different systems in Nashville. I think if I'm giving myself a devil's advocate, it's that there's not a role that suits him well enough in this current iteration of Nashville SC. And the way this team is playing, you're not changing your system to adjust to Ake Loba. You're changing your system to adjust to CJ Sapong and Ahani Mukhtar, because those are the two guys that are leading this team, and Ahani Mukhtar leading the MVP conversation for Nashville SC and for a lot of players in the Eastern Conference. So the counterpoint and the next step to a lot of this is, well, shouldn't you build around your highest paid player? Not right now when you've got a legit MVP candidate. I mean, I'm kind of talking against myself here, but I think there are sides to this that make it a pretty interesting discussion, which is why I wanted to bring it up.
It's the way they rolled him out, right, and presented him in front of the crowd and billed it as a record signing for this club that would change things. And winning cures all, right? Like, if you're winning games and you're not playing your record signing striker, then it's like, oh, well, you know, why'd you spend all that money on him? But who cares? You're winning. But it's the second you hit this moment in, like, Saturday's game where you need a goal and it's not cohesive up front. You don't have that direct line to a goal where you when you need one and you're not even giving him the chance. That's when people are going to complain about it. There's a reason we haven't even brought it up over the last 2 weeks.
Right.
But it's going to be brought up when it rears its head like it did on Saturday.
Say that and say it's not cohesive up front. That's fine. Walker Zimmerman hits a bar with a header. Walker Zimmerman kicks an assist over that CJ just doesn't get enough on. It's almost 2-1 in the blink of an eye the other day.
Yeah.
So, again, I want to see Ake Loba. I want to see Ake Loba starting. I love Daniel Rios. I think Daniel Rios is a super likable guy. Now, here's what I say out there. I don't think there's a player on the roster Gary Smith likes more than Daniel Rios.
I would agree with that.
I think CJ Sapong is going to make way from the starting lineup before Daniel Rios does. I think he's there to
I'm
stay.
I'm not going that far.
So, I just think CJ's going to tap out sooner or later.
No, that's fair.
I think he's just going to.
Not there yet, though.
Not there yet. The guy's scoring for fun, and I hope he keeps on doing it, man, because it's a blast to watch.
It is.
I just say sooner or later, you've got to stop asking 90 minutes out of him every day. You know what I mean? Or 78 minutes out of him every game.
But to your point, Davey, you're right. Zimmerman hits the bar with one of the most powerful headers I've ever seen.
It might have been the most powerful header.
It was insane. And there are moments there where the game can turn. And that's every game, right? But Gary Smith said after the game, a direct quote, "It's really our lack of intensity tonight in such an important game. Tonight we were nowhere near it." Just that lack of urgency. You know, yes, there's a couple moments here and there that can turn the game, but that lack of urgency was consistent throughout that game. Can Ake Loba help bring that? Can he help bring that intensity? We don't know, but that's the thing.
I mean, I think the guy does. Like,
all right, well,
aren't you just always impressed with how he works back and, like, the level of effort you see from him?
Well,
I am, personally.
And that's what Gary Smith said they were lacking the most on Saturday. So that's why, you know, we don't talk about it when this team is winning because we don't need to. It becomes a sidebar conversation like, you know, they're winning all these games. They spend all this money on this guy. They're not even playing him. But it's like, whatever, you know, they're winning. So it's like, I'm not going to say anything.
I think
but when they start to have this lack of urgency up front, that's when you are allowed to bring it up. Say, okay, where's the $7 million striker that you brought in a month and a half ago?
The thing that doesn't help is that I think the other guy that should be getting more minutes is Randall Ayall right now.
Yeah, and that makes it hard.
Oh, he brought an instant spark Saturday. An instant spark. That was one of the best.
That's what I'm saying, but that's another guy Daniel Rios has displaced.
That was one of the best buildups of the season, by the way, on the equalizer by Sapong. Initiated by Zimmerman on a line-breaking ball and the 1-2 between Leal and Mukhtar, and Leal with the assist, Sapong tapping.
It's crazy. Nashville SC's gotten to the point where a guy starting for Costa Rica is on the bench.
But that's formation. And listen, if people out there want to have a conversation on going 4-2-3-1, let's have it, right? Let's have that conversation if you want. But at the same time, I also get what Gary does with the wingbacks.
I think you're going back to 4-2-3-1 tomorrow night. I do.
Maybe.
I think just given the nature of
the road, a place you've already lost.
The nature of the mistake Johnston made, three in the back. And I know that's harsh, but this team hasn't made a lot of mistakes. And there's a lot of good players on the bench. I'm not saying Alistair Johnston drops to the bench. I'm just saying, you know, if you're going to see a little shift, it's going to be the game after your shape kind of caught you out. If there's ever going to be a time that happens. Twitch, YouTube, Facebook Live, Twitter, if you want to jump in on the conversation. Randall Ayall's last two games, 35 minutes, gets the assist against Toronto. Comes on in stoppage time against the against Montreal in that win, in a 1-0 win. 31 minutes as a substitute. He, of course, gets the goal as a substitute, the empty netter, against Atlanta. And before that, it was 72 minutes, 77 minutes, 74 minutes for a guy who I think has overall been pretty good this
year. Well, he's also gotten a lot of minutes with the Costa Rican National.
Yeah, a ton of minutes when he was gone. Yeah.
He's kind of one of the only guys Nashville's really had the luxury of saying, hey, you're coming back from international duty. Let's ease you back in.
Yes.
That has not been the case for Alistair Johnston because the guy is just an 8 out of 10, 7 out of 10 every time he's on the field.
Yeah, and Walker Zimmerman. Yeah, same deal.
I just don't know.
He's coming off an injury.
Is Dave Romney ever not going to play?
Never.
No, he's not allowed to not play. You don't not play, Dave.
Why was Leal taken out of the 11? Well, he left for Costa Rica. And then Daniel Rios has been playing pretty well since then. And we've kind of gone to that two strikers, you know, with Hani playing off the two. Sometimes Hani plays up top off of Sapong. And so it's going to be interesting to see. I like that more personally. I like it more with
you like a, just a Sapong, pure second striker.
Sapong and Hani closer to the goal, and then Leal playing Leal as a 10 behind him. I like
Leal
it.
Leal enjoys that more.
But again, in the perfect world, isn't it Loba and Sapong up top, and then Hani playing off of those two?
In the perfect world, it's Cadiz and Loba up top. But that's not going to happen.
Once upon a time, I thought that was the perfect.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's pretty much proven. Like the highest ceiling when you sign both those guys is, oh, you're going to play them together, and
yeah,
you know, you've got
don't work
this hybrid 4-4-2, 4-2-3-1 where Loba comes off the right, second striker with the ball, and is a right winger without it. But that's just not. You know, not the situation.
I don't know. I mean, despite all the physical attributes, I do think Sapong has more in his tool belt than Yonder Cadiz. We've seen that by now.
I don't think Loba's ready to be an out-and-out number nine striker in MLS. He's not physical enough the way Nashville plays. This is still my takeaway every time I see Ake Loba up there. He's not physical enough to hold up the ball the way Gary Smith wants his strikers to hold up the ball.
But, bro, he's out there with Cadiz and Hawkinson and LaGrassa.
I know.
We do not have a sample size on Ake Loba yet.
I'm definitely with you on that.
Yeah.
And if Yonder Cadiz makes a tap.
And that's no knock on any of those guys, because when those guys come into the full lineup, they put in good performances. All of those guys I just named
Hawkinson.
Hawkinson does, LaGrassa, all of those guys does. But when it's all five of them out there together, they're not getting minutes together. Like, it just doesn't look cohesive at all. So then when we see Loba, it's with a disjointed front, and it's like he's doing all this running and the stuff that looks great, but where's the service?
To an extent, he hasn't had much of a chance.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I that's all I'm saying is, you want to judge the Loba thing, judge the signing if you want, right? Did they need to make a $7 million signing right now when this guy is not going to? Mm-hmm. Maybe they wouldn't have been able to get him in the offseason. I don't know.
Right.
But I don't think we can judge the player at all yet, because I just don't think there's a sample size out there.
Even go back to his first start. It was New England, right? It was
New England away, 0-0 draw.
You're there to get a draw. Yeah. You are there to get out of there with a scoreless
depleted
draw.
Depleted roster.
The perfect result.
Right.
And so even then, he gets the start for 45 minutes. But when that's the direction and that's the approach, even then, you're not really giving him that much of a chance.
Right.
Prove what he was brought here to prove.
The reason Daniel Rios has taken over is because they don't win in Atlanta without Daniel Rios. Now, granted, they also don't win
in
Atlanta.
He played pretty
well
before then, though.
Without Joseph Martinez missing an absolute sitter, he makes probably 90 times out of 100. But
I think Daniel Rios has looked good. I got no issue with his inclusion.
The way he played in that Atlanta game was, like, he was up to the level C.J. Sapong's been at for about a month and a half, 2 months. For that game, they don't win that game without
the team.
Daniel Rios.
Yeah, I think so.
So I have trouble saying the best finisher, because when I think of the goals that Randall Leal and Hani Mukhtar can score, I don't know if Daniel Rios has that in his locker.
I just think Hani has that instinct.
Yes, I think so. Actually, I would disagree with that part. I think Rios has the instinct. I think Leal and Mukhtar are the better overall finishers in the different types of goals they can score. What I mean by that is, like, you talk to make the football analogy. Like, Derrick Henry is like a rhythm rusher. We've talked about that a lot on this station. There are some guys that have to be getting lots of shots off, lots of chances in order to finish goals. They've got to be in and around the ball. They can't just have a moment and then finish it. Daniel Rios is not, he's the opposite. He does not have to be in a rhythm. He needs one or two chances and it's in. So if that's how you define best finisher, then absolutely. He doesn't need as many chances
to
score.
I just mean, like, technique finishing the ball. Like, that goal scored against Atlanta, low post, driven across. Like, I if there's one person on the roster I want taking that shot, it's Daniel Rios. Yonder Cadiz never scores that goal in a million years.
See, it's still Hani Mukhtar for me on the kinds of goals that Hani Mukhtar can.
Just pouncing on loose balls in the box.
I'll tell you.
Free kicks, that type of thing.
One other thing that I am okay with not seeing again for a little while, and I think it worked for a few games. I'm totally fine with Lovitz moving back over to the left. I think the inversion was kind of found out a bit the other day.
People know about it now.
And look, some days just know about it, not whatever. Some days things just aren't going to come off right. Taylor Washington was fine. It's not like Lovitz was bad on the right. It was just it did not work in the way that it had worked previously. Get Johnston back out to wing back. Get Lovitz back over on the left. Taylor Washington deserves a rest anyways. That guy has been awesome.
Yeah.
that was another thing that stood out to me the other night, is it had been so smooth, that transition, and more than you can ask for, I think.
The ironic thing is Nashville had the possession on Saturday.
Yeah. That's like
for the first time in a while.
That's That's actually not even really a knock on Gary Smith. It's just that this was a new idea. People have figured it out. So what's the next new idea? And Gary Smith has gotten a lot of those right. Alistair Johnston moving to right center back was a great new idea. You know, Brian Anunga and Matt LaGrassa, the revelations they've been in the middle of the field. I don't want to get caught in the trap of this just being an all negative show here today because
we're going to talk Chelsea, so it's going to turn positive here soon. So
we're about to have a complete deep dive into the Carabao Cup fixtures that were today in the third round.
Look, this team's second in the Eastern Conference,
right?
Because
we've
embraced this show. It's not even a heel turn. It's just that we're the most real people on this team. Like, we're going to call it like we see it, probably more than the other people that are talking about this, because most of those
people would push back against our fans.
I don't think he would at all.
But and here's the thing. If this team...
Wes is probably watching right now. Like, he's probably about to text me.
I
right
love
now.
You, Wes.
Like,
the worst
Jonathan
thing...
Jonathan Schaefer today was like, y'all are a little harsh sometimes. That's what this statement is coming from. I'm not even thinking of Wes as I say this. It's Jonathan Schaefer walking in and be like, I was driving around a little bit last week and like, they're good. Like, y'all are kind of harsh. I was like, okay.
Well, and the worst thing wasn't even anything formation or personnel on Saturday. It was the urgency, the intensity. For me, the biggest, the most disappointing or the most concerning thing was how they fell off after conceding the second goal. The flurry that Toronto brought on after going up 2-1, that was the most concerning to me.
Well, and they had pressed so hard to get the equalizer, and that just looked
I get that.
So good
in
doing it.
It kind of broke them a little
bit.
Yeah,
it did.
And it's been a long road trip. You're in Toronto. It's you're in the north. I get it.
College football.
But the thing is, if this team dismantles Miami on the road, which is not an easy thing to do, we've known that by now, but this Akeloba conversation dissipates because, okay, they're winning again.
Sure.
Does the change?
It's game by game.
You've got Miami and Chicago the next two. Just win them.
You got to beat Chicago.
Just win them and go on.
But overall, I mean, yeah, good problems to have.
I think does a point become an acceptable result now tomorrow?
Now?
Acceptable is probably not the right word. Yeah.
No.
Really?
It's more you got to win it.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, after losing at Miami the last time.
Honestly.
I think you got to get four points out of these next two games. You got to get 4 points out of these next two road games before coming back.
I agree. This is the most disgusted Davies.
Chicago is so bad. And I had them in the playoffs.
I'm not saying Chicago. I'm saying Miami.
Right.
Miami's
what I'm
playing,
saying is okay, 4 points.
Going on that trip.
So I'm saying 3 points against Chicago is like as nailed on as like you got to get this result as anything, I would say, as much as the Toronto one was. That being said, famous you didn't get words. That one. So I thought from the road trip you could afford to drop 2 points against the teams that they had. I thought that would happen against Montreal. Montreal's a good side.
Yeah.
You go to Montreal, you do the heavy lifting.
They had chances.
They did. do the heavy lifting, you get the 1-0 win.
Yeah.
And then to me it's, okay, 9-9, be the team you think you can be. Right. Mind you, this isn't just about playoff position anymore. CONCACAF Champions League slot is on the line now, man. Like, there's something for just getting the most points available to you now. So it's not – like, I think the excuses are gone. Mm-hmm. And, again, this is to me – I came into the season saying, hey, you know what? I think this team could get, like, better, but it not feel like it. And it's I'm not there yet. They're second in the East. I think they're still going to win around in the playoffs. I think they're still going to do a lot of good. But for me, one absolute surefire way to say, hey, this season was better than last year, lock up a CONCACAF Champions League spot. I think that means a lot to fans. I think it means a lot in the grand scheme of the money you're able to make. And I think it would be really, really good kind of ensuring this team is headed in the direction we all think they should be. If we're harsh on this team, it's because we realize the quality of it earlier than everybody else, right?
Right.
I predicted them to be finished fourth in the preseason.
Yeah.
I changed it to third on this show, a month ago or whatever?
Yeah.
So I've got fourth. High round expectations fourth, for the team, and I want to see them meet those expectations.
The games left. We've started to get to the point now where we can actually list the games that are left without it taking way too long. It's Miami-Chicago. Orlando at home becomes a really intriguing one.
Orlando's struggling right now, man.
Yeah, they are. To New York. And to D.C., which is an interesting game, playing at that place. Then you come back for Columbus at home. And this team does not have many home games left. It's Orlando, Columbus, and New York back at Nissan Stadium.
Yeah, I got to get some
It's nothing. You got three home games left. And then it's Philadelphia, Cincinnati in late October. And then you finish up at home against New York Red Bulls. Real quick, guys, before we go to break, Atlanta United, we mentioned it quickly. That team has now won 7 of its last 8 in the one non-win. Forget even just drawing. Their one non-win is Nashville.
They were torn apart by Nashville.
They were. They were torn apart as far as Joseph Martinez's jersey in half. Torn apart. Was that the joke you were making? Or were you just leading me there to make a pun?
No, well, I mean, I think Nashville just exposed them.
Okay, I was going to say.
Up and down the field.
I was like,
had
were you
trying
to make a bowling joke right there saying they were torn apart as Joseph Martinez's jersey?
Oh, no, I wasn't going there.
See, that's just how.
I realize who I'm talking to.
Our brains right. Work. When we come back, we'll give Chelsea time to Davey Shepherd. Plus, Champions League was very fun. I almost made Lucas really mad talking about a bet that I almost made on Liverpool-Milan. And then we walked back in the next day, and he was like, yeah, that bet would have hit.
Yeah, should have made it.
We'll wrap up the show next, 104.5 The Zone. Nashville Soccer Show, 104.5 The Zone. Check out the podcast version. If you missed any of the conversation today, that is available in about 10 minutes. Talking about Ake Loba, talking about Toronto over the weekend, and a little preview ahead to Miami tomorrow night. We will, of course, finish the show as we have started to always do with our predictions now on the way out. Quick question on Twitch. Do you think Nashville could have an early exit in the playoffs a la 2019 and USL? I think it is not outside the realm of possibilities. I think it's very possible with the types of goals this team's given up.
Not outside the realm of possibility. That being said, I don't think it's probable either. I like Nashville to at least win one round.
Yeah. John on Twitter chiming in as well, saying, I think Loba's purchase was at the wrong time. Sapong is in amazing form, developed amazing chemistry with Hani just before Loba came on. If we'd had him from the start of the season, I think we'd be getting Sapong's minutes, and we would see his true ability.
Yeah, a lot of what-ifs with this team.
I think that's fair.
I think so, too. I think if Cadiz doesn't get called up to the Venezuela side and sit in a hotel room, he gets tons of CJ's minutes. They were dead even there through the beginning of
the year. And you were the one. You were the Yonder Cadiz guy.
I was, yeah. But I'm saying that is said, right?
I'm not insulting
you. No, I absolutely was. Yeah. I'll swallow that one for sure, but... I mean, that's where you were, right? Those guys were – Cadiz was getting more of the minutes. Yeah. He gets called up to the national side, possibly gets COVID while he's there. We know he missed games in protocol. And comes back. He's lost a spot. CJ Sapong has absolutely taken off.
That is the difference, though. Cadiz got every opportunity.
That's it. Yeah, right. Yeah, 100%.
I think it changes the value of players of a Hani Mukhtar when he had German citizenship and was just playing for Germany. That guy's way more valuable because you know – unless something major changes, he's there for 100% of your games, barring injury.
Yeah, but now he's where? Sudan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quickly on the way out, gentlemen, Chelsea is good.
They're very good.
Makes me sad.
Better than I thought they would look at this point in the season.
Look like the most complete team in the Premier League right now.
I think so, too. Who looks better than them right now?
That far.
I still am just in love with City. Not like a
look, I got no issue, but I'm saying looking at the results and the performances you've seen so far, you can't argue City looks better than them so far.
Pep Guardiola just begged his fans to show up for a scoreless draw.
They play Saturday, so they play this weekend.
That video is so funny.
And who is it? Who are they playing the Carabao? Southampton? That they couldn't get a shot on goal?
It's just a weird team because you just continue wondering with City, when are they going to get that dude at striker? That just changes the game.
That's why I say Chelsea is the most complete. That question right there is why Chelsea is the most complete team in the Premier League. That's it right there.
Oh, but just Ruben Diaz and that midfield, though.
Ruben Diaz, who couldn't hold Rudiger's jock right now, just to be clear.
You can have 10 world-class
midfielders. No center back in the league is playing better than Antonio Rudiger right now.
That's odd of you to not assume that Ben White is no longer a Premier League center back. I'm kidding. It's funny also just how quickly we go from American soccer verbiage to talking like British people when we start talking about English soccer, which I'm one of those guys, though, that I kind of do it. You and I both.
Yeah.
More so than Lucas, because Lucas is less of a Premier League guy, obviously, so it makes sense. Like that we are just like we're Euro snobs. Like we definitely are.
100%.
That's one of the things I love most about myself, not just in soccer, just in life.
Well, and you can be a Euro snob without being a Brit snob.
No, and that's 100% true. I just feel like it's... It's just funny that I'll do like a Belmont soccer broadcast. And it's like, you know, at the weekend, they had a big conference fixture.
United are struggling a little bit.
Yeah, exciting, and I just can't wait to see how Ole Gunnar Solskjaer messes this up. I tweeted this out. One of my buddies from high school responded back, and I was like, way better than the Gunners, though. And I was like, you have Cristiano Ronaldo, and you're comparing your team to Arsenal?
He's been unbelievable.
Yeah. He has been really good, and it's
not going
to
stop.
We're seeing just how hard it is to step into a team and score goals for fun immediately with the way Lionel Messi's had to adjust. And again, he's hit the post a ton. He's been really good. But still, like, Ronaldo hasn't hit the post. Like, Ronaldo's scoring.
Yeah, him and Lukaku are out of the blocks quick. That game this weekend is going to be a lot of fun. 6:30 a.m. Get up for it if you can. City, Chelsea, I think will be worth a watch. And then right into Champions League midweek next week. So
Lucas and I will be fresh off of a high school football game.
Who you got this weekend?
BA NBA.
Ooh.
Yeah, be fun. It's one of my favorites. Yeah, Ronaldo is – I hate it. I think the person that hates Ronaldo being this good so much
– Jane Sancho?
Bruno Fernandes.
I don't know. I think it's Sancho or Greenwood. Those guys can, like, it's
sarcastically
weird.
Saying it because it means that Fernandes can't only score penalties.
The most exciting team in the Premier League right now.
Oh, yeah. I actually almost woke up on Sunday morning early just to watch them play Newcastle. So, predictions for tomorrow, boys, on the way out.
Oh, I like a 2-1 Nashville win.
I think they get out of there with a draw.
2-2 draw. Nah, 1-1 draw. 1-1 draw against Miami. We got to go at the weekend again as well against Chicago. Back to discuss it all next week right here, Nashville Soccer Show, and it's 104.5 The Zone.